So, the guy who essentially built Walmart's massive e-commerce empire.
Right, the one who actually rivaled Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he recently decided to step down, and I mean, his reasoning should really make everyone pause.
Oh, what did he say?
He basically said he feels fundamentally unequipped to lead a company in this coming age of artificial intelligence.
Wow,
Yeah.
that is incredibly telling.
It's wild, right? Because, if a retail titan with basically unlimited resources is tapping out because he can't wrap his head around this
What
shift,
does that mean for the rest of us?
exactly. What does that mean for a local business
Hmm.
owner or a mid-level manager or just, you sitting there trying to navigate your career?
Well, I mean, that is the defining economic question of this decade. We are definitively moving out of the novelty phase of AI.
The whole like writing a funny limerick or making a weird picture of a cat phase.
Right, exactly. We're crashing headfirst into the infrastructure phase now. And this technology is fundamentally reshaping how daily work happens, how corporate capital is allocated, and how entire communities operate on a microscopic level.
Okay, so let's unpack this because our mission for today's deep dive is a high-level, completely jargon-free exploration of why this current wave of AI is basically the most critical economic story of our time.
And we have some fascinating source material to help us do that.
We do. We're looking at an excerpt from a regional business broadcast called Business Edge, but we aren't going to talk about San Francisco or tech billionaires today.
No, we need something much more relatable.
Right. We are using the Canadian province of Prince Edward Island, or PEI, as our canary in the coal mine. It's a really small, service-heavy, relationship-driven economy.
Which makes it a perfect test case, really.
Yeah, we're looking at PEI to understand exactly how this technology is going to disrupt your job in your local community.
Because when you have a $7.7 billion, highly interconnected economy like PEI, it acts as a perfect microcosm.
How so? Like, why not just look at the national economy?
Well, when you look at a massive national economy, the effects of a new technology can easily get lost in all the macroeconomic noise. But in a smaller province, the collision between traditional human labor and global AI acceleration is, I mean, it's visible almost immediately.
That's right there in your face.
Exactly. The stakes are incredibly high here. If you are a professional and you aren't actively figuring out how this software changes your daily workflow right now, you are already falling behind.
Okay, but to understand how this impacts a traditional local economy, I feel like we first have to establish what the technology is actually doing today.
Because it has evolved so dramatically in just the last few months.
Yeah, exactly. So let's start with a term that just keeps popping up in the sources, agentic AI.
Ah, yes. The new buzzword.
Right, so cut through the Silicon Valley jargon for us here. When we say AI is becoming agentic, what does that actually look like for someone just, sitting at their laptop?
The simplest way to understand this shift, and I'll keep it jargon-free, is that we're moving from content generation to capability delegation.
Okay, content generation to capability delegation. Break that down.
Well, in the recent past, say a year ago, AI was essentially a really smart oracle. You asked it a question and it generated an answer.
Right, you give it a prompt, it gives you text.
Exactly. That's content generation. But agentic AI involves building systems that can self-operate. You don't just ask it a question, you give it a broad goal.
How interesting. So it's more independent.
Very. It can retrieve information, take actions across different web browsers, coordinate different software applications, and, complete multi-step work entirely independently without asking for your permission at every single step.
Let me put an analogy to that because the difference in daily utility there seems massive. The old generative AI was basically like having a really fast dictionary on your desk.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. Like it's incredibly useful, but you still have to do all the actual heavy lifting. Agentic AI, though, sounds like hiring a highly efficient intern.
Yes, a digital coworker.
Yeah. You can hand this digital intern a messy 100-page PDF and say, read this. Cross-reference it with our Q3 sales data, summarize the main discrepancies, draft an email to the client, and update my calendar for a follow-up next Tuesday.
And it just goes and does it.
It just does it. You don't have to babysit every single mouse click.
And that level of autonomy is exactly why the titans of the tech industry are pivoting their entire corporate strategies right now.
They're really going all in.
They are. They aren't just tweaking their products, they're tearing their companies down to the studs
Yeah.
to focus on this exact capability. Just look at NVIDIA.
Oh, yeah, Jensen Huang.
Right, their CEO. He has been incredibly blunt about this. He calls this the agentic inflection point. He's arguing that the computer is now actionable. It's no longer just a calculator, it's a worker.
Wow, a worker.
Yes, and he predicts that because of this new software architecture, every industrial company will essentially become a robotics company.
I mean, the pivot happening at OpenAI is the perfect example of the underlying economic logic here, too. Sam Altman is shifting their whole focus toward this capability delegation.
And they made a pretty huge sacrifice to do that, didn't they?
A massive one. They actually canceled their wildly popular video generation tool, Sora, and people absolutely loved Sora.
It was incredible technology.
It was. It was this toy that could make these mind-blowing, hyper-realistic short videos from just a simple text prompt. It made headlines everywhere, but they shelved it. Why would they do that?
Well, it really comes down to compute allocation and opportunity cost. Every microchip used to generate a fun video of a dog riding a skateboard.
As fun as that is.
As fun as it is,
yeah.
Is a chip that isn't powering an enterprise agent capable of autonomous corporate strategy.
So it's a difference in scale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A video generator is a neat consumer product,
right.
An agent that can reconcile a multinational corporation's tax ledger. That fundamentally changes the global economy.
Right.
They're buckling down on serious multi-step agentic systems because that is where the multi-trillion-dollar value actually lies.
And the timeline for this is accelerating like crazy. The sources point out Dario Amodei, the CEO of Anthropic, who is explicitly warning that extremely powerful, highly autonomous AI is arriving far sooner than the public expects.
We are talking within the next 2 years.
2 years, not a decade from now. 2 years.
It's staggering. I mean, Elon Musk's Tesla actually canceled the production lines for their flagship Model S and Model X cars.
Wait, they retired an entire established automotive platform.
Yes, just to retool those factories to build humanoid robots, the capital is flowing entirely toward replacing human input with digital or robotic efficiency.
Which, okay, brings us right back to our microcosm, Prince Edward Island. We've established that AI is suddenly capable of doing actual multi-step reasoning-based work.
Real work.
Real work. So what happens when that capability collides with a traditional economy? Let's look at the reality of PEI. You have a labor force of about 103,000 people.
And crucially, a massive portion of its economy relies on public administration and knowledge workers.
Right. The provincial government and federal departments, like Veterans Affairs, they are huge employers there.
Exactly. They are economies built almost entirely on document processing, administration, and relationship management.
So futurist Peter Diamandis previously predicted that 30% of white-collar jobs would be fundamentally transformed by 2030. But the analysis from Business Edge that we're exploring today, they argue that timeline is laughably conservative.
They're suggesting a profound structural shift in the next 18 months.
18 months. So I want you, the listener, to imagine you live in PEI, or really any service-driven community. What happens if 50% of the knowledge workers in your town are displaced or heavily disrupted by an autonomous software agent?
It completely upends the ecosystem.
Yeah. Who is left to buy groceries at the local market? Who is paying the mortgages? Who is fueling the local economy?
And that tension introduces a crucial economic concept that was highlighted in the broadcast called value leakage.
Value leakage. Okay, explain that.
This is the invisible mechanism that local communities really need to understand. Let's say a local PEI business, maybe, a medium-sized logistics company, implements an AI agent, and it makes them incredibly productive.
Okay. Sounds good so far.
Right. Let's say it lifts their effective output by just 1%. In a $7.7 billion economy like PEI, a 1% lift is $77 million in added activity.
Wait, let me challenge that premise for a second. If a local business gets 1% more productive and creates $77 million in added activity, doesn't that inherently mean more money is circulating in Charlottetown? How is massive local efficiency a bad thing?
Well, on paper, it looks like growth.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the plumbing of the local economy to see where that money actually is flowing. To get that massive efficiency, the local logistics company isn't hiring three local junior copywriters, a data analyst, or an administrative assistant.
Right, the people who would normally take their paychecks and buy coffee at the local cafe or hire a local plumber.
Exactly. Instead, the business is paying a $30 monthly subscription fee to massive tech platforms like Microsoft, Google, Meta, or OpenAI.
I see.
So the business gets leaner and more efficient, but the local payrolls shrink.
Because the profits leave the island entirely and flow directly to server farms in Silicon Valley.
Precisely. And as a direct result, the local tax base, which funds the roads, the schools, the healthcare system, It basically begins to dry up.
Wow.
The local economy modernizes, sure, but it leaks its value out to global vendors.
And this massive displacement risk is so severe that it's actually reviving serious policy discussions around guaranteed basic income.
Yes, that was mentioned in the source material.
Right. Local advocates like PEI Member of Parliament Sean Casey are bringing this to the radar of policymakers. And, you know, regardless of your political stance on universal basic income, the fact that it is being debated purely as an economic countermeasure,
it just highlights the sheer scale of the disruption.
Exactly. They are impartially looking at a future where traditional human labor simply cannot guarantee local economic stability or a functioning tax base.
Which is a sobering thought.
It's terrifying, honestly. If you aren't careful, your entire community becomes a consumer of the AI economy instead of a builder inside it.
That's a great distinction.
But let's zoom in even closer. What does this value leakage look like inside a specific local business? Because it doesn't look like a Hollywood sci-fi movie where a robot kicks open the boardroom door and fires everyone on a Tuesday.
No. It's much more insidious than that. It starts with the quiet disappearance of the entry-level job.
Break that down. What does that look like day to day?
Well, local AI adoption isn't about building the next breakthrough language model in a garage. It's wildly practical. It's a local construction company using an AI agent to instantly process massive government tendering documents and handle complex project scheduling.
Or a tourism operator automating their multilingual customer forecasting.
Exactly. In fact, Statistics Canada reported that 12.2% of Canadian businesses had already used AI to produce goods or deliver services recently.
12.2%.
Yeah. And the immediate result wasn't a headline-grabbing wave of layoffs. It was a subtle shift they termed workflow redesign.
Oh, man. Let's translate workflow redesign. That is corporate speak for thinning out the bottom layer of the company, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. The first jobs to be redesigned out of existence are the junior administrative, clerical, and document-heavy support roles.
Right. A 200-page legal discovery document that used to take a junior lawyer or an accountant a full week of billable hours to summarize.
It can now be chewed through by an AI model in about 14 seconds.
14 seconds. So if you are a junior professional listening to this, you aren't competing with a robot that wants your desk. You are competing with a software subscription that costs less than your daily lunch.
And there is a hidden structural danger to that reality, which the broadcast illustrated perfectly with a recent situation at Hewlett-Packard.
Oh, the HP story. Yes.
So HP decided to aggressively automate their software development. They replaced a massive amount of their junior application developers with AI coding tools, and they just kept the senior developers around to oversee the outputs.
Which I'm sure in the short term seemed like a brilliant way to cut costs and boost margins.
Oh, absolutely. But then, inevitably, those senior developers started wanting to retire.
And when HP looked around to promote the next generation of leaders, they realized they had a massive talent vacuum.
Completely empty.
Right, because they had automated away all the junior roles. There was no one left who had been trained up through the ranks. There was no one who actually understood the foundational mechanics of the code to replace the seniors.
And this is the question every business owner has to ask themselves right now.
Yeah. If we automate all the entry-level grunt work, the exact work that teaches you how an industry actually functions, how do we ever train the next generation of managers, operators, and business owners?
You don't. That's the terrifying answer. A senior professional's intuition comes from years of making mistakes as a junior.
Exactly. You have to put in the reps.
Right. By letting AI flawlessly execute all the beginner work, companies are effectively taking a saw and cutting off the bottom rungs of the career ladder.
It creates this widening gap. Productivity inside organizations might pull ahead, but the pipeline for human talent completely dries up.
And if public trust begins to erode, for instance, if these AI tools suffer from hallucinations, you know, making up false information that damages customer relationships.
Well, which happens all the time right now.
It does. The companies won't have the human staff to step in, identify the underlying issue, and fix the mess.
Okay, so if the technology is moving at light speed and the economic and career risks are this severe, how do we actually survive?
We need a strategy.
Yeah. How do everyday workers, local businesses, and municipal governments thrive in this environment without getting totally washed away?
Well, the business broadcast we are unpacking provides a very clear survival playbook. It starts with something they call the 90-day rule.
And this is fantastic, tangible advice for you listening. The rule is blunt. Do not adopt AI in the abstract.
Right. Don't just buy software because you read a tech blog telling you it's the future.
Pick three specific, measurable use cases for your daily work. Things like save 2 hours of scheduling time a week, reduce data entry errors by half, or increase revenue by automating follow-up emails.
Very specific goals.
Yes, and test those three use cases within 90 days. If you aren't seeing a clear, measurable benefit by then, you aren't transforming your workflow, you're just burning money on a shiny object.
That disciplined approach is vital on an individual level, but we also have to scale this up to a macro level, don't we?
Yeah.
The analysis synthesizes a 5-point policy agenda for governments and institutions, again, using PEI as the model for how a community can insulate itself.
Okay, let's go through the 5 points.
First, they argue governments must move past generic innovation buzzwords and focus on targeted AI adoption for actual businesses. It has to solve real friction.
I completely agree with that. We don't need any more vague tech seminars about, like, the synergy of the future. We need actual implementation.
Right.
A baker needs to know how AI can predict their flower inventory, not how it writes a poem.
Exactly. Second, institutions have to scale practical training. Holland College recently introduced a new AI analytics program, which The Source shouted out as a positive institutional step.
That's great, but formal education moves so slowly.
It does. There has to be a widespread culture of self-education across the workforce just to keep pace.
And the third point.
Third, governments must fundamentally modernize their procurement processes. They need the ability to pilot and deploy these tools quickly without being reckless with taxpayer money.
Let's pause on procurement for a second, because government purchasing is notoriously sluggish.
Very true.
You can't use a traditional 3-year request for proposal cycle for software that reinvents itself every 6 months.
By the time a local government officially approves an AI vendor, the technology they bought is 3 generations obsolete.
Exactly. They have to figure out how to buy and test software in 90-day sprints, or they will never, ever catch up to the private sector.
Which naturally leads into the fourth point. Governance. You have to build strong governance around privacy, data handling, and accountability before these systems become deeply embedded in public life.
We mentioned AI hallucinations earlier. Think about the liability there.
Oh, it's massive.
If a municipal government deploys an AI agent to handle public inquiries, and that agent confidently gives a citizen incorrect legal or tax advice,
and then the government tries to penalize that citizen later.
Right. The breach of public trust is catastrophic. The guardrails just have to be airtight.
And finally, the fifth point of the survival playbook. Play to your existing strengths. Support sectors that are naturally resistant to software automation in the near term.
Like what? What's resistant?
Well, the heavy hitters in a place like PEI are bioscience, agriculture, and fisheries. If you are a nurse, an auto mechanic, or someone working physically out on a lobster boat, your job is currently insulated from a digital language model.
That makes total sense. An AI agent cannot change a tire.
Cannot draw blood.
And it certainly cannot pull a lobster trap out of the ocean.
Exactly. When you look at all 5 of these points together, the broader strategy becomes really clear. It isn't about trying to win a global race against Silicon Valley.
Because a local economy is never going to out-innovate a $1 trillion tech monopoly.
Never. It is about highly localized adaptation. It's about using the technology to compress your own document-heavy work, improve your own local business margins, and protect your own community from that value leakage we talked about.
It's basically a defensive economic strategy.
Precisely.
So, what does this all mean for you listening? It means you have a choice to make, and you really have to make it soon.
You do.
You can either figure out how to be a builder in this new AI economy, someone who actively uses these tools to create value, save time, and protect your margins, or you will inevitably become just a consumer of it.
And if you just sit back, you will end up paying subscription fees to global tech companies while the market value of your own traditional labor slowly erodes.
Exactly. So to summarize everything we've explored today from the broadcast, AI is no longer a novelty.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. It is a fundamental, ground-up reorganization of knowledge work across the globe.
And the only way to prevent becoming victimized by this technological shift is to stop viewing it as some abstract future concept.
It is a present-day operational reality.
Yeah.
And it requires proactive, highly localized adaptation right now.
I want to leave you with one final lingering thought to mull over today as you look at your own career and your own community. Well, if our entire modern society, our local tax bases, our social safety nets, and even our personal identities is structured around the core idea that human value comes from our labor,
which it is,
what happens to our collective sense of self-worth when work as we know it is suddenly done better and infinitely cheaper by an invisible digital agent? What happens when that massive wave of technology finally crashes, not just on the shores of our local economy, but on the shores of our humanity?
I mean, that might just be the most important question of the intelligence age.
It really might be. We want to warmly thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep adapting, keep questioning the world around you, and we'll catch you next time.